been here quite often with him. And there are wonderful people out here that I love and adore. And I was just so glad to see two of my girls from La Sierra when I was principal there as junior high principal. And I was just so glad. They're grown now, okay? Can you believe it? And I was just so glad to see that they're participating in church. You know, so often our young people are scattered everywhere, but they're participating in church. You've already had a full service. I love the praise team singing, "Lord, I Want to Be a Christian," and "Oh, How I Love Jesus," and "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." "I Surrender All," and "Is It Well With My Soul?" And then we've heard the music of "Cast All Our Cares Upon Him," "Sweet Hour of Prayer," and this last one was, "Jesus, Your Name is Power, Might, Break the Strongholds, and Your Name is Life." Isn't the name of Jesus just a wonderful name? Amen. Can you just say Jesus this morning? Jesus. I don't know about you, but I've had a rough week, rough month, rough year, and it's just now the end of March. But what I am blessed of is that Jesus is the wonderful friend that we have. The theme for Women's Day here is on friendship. And I'm going to speak on the value of friends. Do I look nervous? Well, I am. With Thy Spirit fill me. With Thy Spirit fill me. Make me holy. Thine I pray. With Thy Spirit fill me. Gracious God, we invite you at this time to fill us. The words that I speak, Lord, may they not be my words, because we've been together, and I believe these are the words that we all need, including myself. I just thank you, Lord, for your presence. Continue to fill us throughout this day in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. I just loved the version that Tory Cook read, especially in one part of that verse. She says, "Pity is the man." I was like, okay, girl, go on with that. Because as we get into the message this morning, we need friends, don't we? Amen. We need friends. I want to just look at that Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 again, and when you have it, say amen. And as I'm reading from the New King James Version, it reads thus, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a third-fold cord is not quickly broken." You know, when Beverly invited me and asked me to come, and she told me that the theme was on friendship, I started thinking about, well, how many friends do I have? You know, we have friends and we have acquaintances. Amen? And as I was studying on this and I came across this text, I tried to dig into it a little deeper as to what this is really saying to us. In reading Swindoll, and I don't know if some of you may have heard this, but Swindoll, he made an observation that the neighborhood bar is probably the best counterfeit there is to the fellowship Christ wants the church to be. You see, the neighborhood bar is an imitation, dispensing liquor instead of grace, escape rather than reality, but it is permissive, accepting, and inclusive friendship. It is unshockable. It is democratic. You can tell people your secrets, and they usually don't tell anyone else, probably because they can't remember it. And the bar flourishes not because most people are alcoholics, but because God has given inside of us a need to know, and a need to know someone else, and a desire to be loved and be loved. And so many seek a counterfeit at the price of a few beers. Perhaps there is no better example of this than the television sitcom, which was Cheers. You remember Cheers that used to come on? I couldn't understand why that show was always in the bar. They didn't even go outside the bar. Everything took place in the bar, and people were coming and going. And there was a song, the theme song, and I never thought too much about that theme song because you know how it went. And the theme song, the words, listen to the words. Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. You want to go where people know. People are all the same. You want to go where everybody knows your name. Why are you here this morning? Does everybody know your name? Do you want to go where everybody knows your name and they care about you? Well, you know, here he's saying that this bar, you can go there and you can, everybody knows your name and you can tell them anything. You can tell them your secrets. But do you know that in the house of God, everybody knows each other's name if we find ourselves friendly, if we find ourselves caring? And one thing I know about the Fallbrook Church, this is a caring church. And I believe that although we may not know everyone's name, there is one person that knows everybody's name. Amen? And that is Jesus Christ. And you see, we are all the same here. Aren't we all the same? We're definitely all the same. We are sinners saved by grace. And so we're all the same. No matter what this song is saying, we know that we are Christians and we also will get to know each other's name. And you know, although the lyrics of this says a lot, they never really put the full lyrics of this song on the TV. Listen to this. One of the verses says, all those nights when you've got no lights. Has anyone ever experienced your lights going out because the bill wasn't paid? It says, all those nights when you've got no lights, the check is in the mail, hasn't arrived yet, and your little angel hung the cat by its tail. Sometimes you want to go where everybody just knows your name, and they're always glad that you came. And then it says, be glad there's one place in the world where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. But the only problem with this is that they're speaking about the bar. Are you glad you came this morning? This is the safest place to be, amen? And although we don't know each other's name and we may not be friends, but we have a common denomination here, and that's Jesus Christ. At one of my times when I was teaching, it was just before I went to La Sierra. It was in between La Sierra and Mesa Grande. I tell you, I have been almost to every school in this conference. It seems like I was the cleaner upper. I used to get mad at that. I said, why do they always send me to a trouble school? You know? And then I started counting my blessings. Lord, you must have given me a gift. Might make me crazy, but Lord, thank you for the gift of trying to do it. But I remember this particular time, the conference had a pilot program of homeschoolers. And so we were doing this pilot program, and they asked me to go and work with the teacher and teach her how to do the multi-grade classroom style in this homeschool. But the homeschool was only there for 3 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Actually, it was Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, because Monday was off and Friday was off. Isn't that a wonderful deal? You know, and you make those lesson plans. But I remember doing this, and the parents that wanted this school to happen were like-minded. They were what? That means what? That meant that they all came together because they all agreed on certain things that they wanted the school to be like, or the homeschool project to be like. So they were like-minded. But you know what I found out? That the only people that were like-minded in that program were the children. Because the parents started coming at each other and disagreeing with each other. And I'm saying, well, but this is supposed to be like-minded. We're supposed to be in unity. I love the Lego story. It talked about parts working together, talked about the unity, talked about the synergy, the energy that we get from each other. And that's what church is all about, isn't it? It's about coming together, working together, being like-minded. It doesn't mean that we have to always agree, but in our disagreement, we can do it in love. Amen? Amen. And so it means that we're friends there, the value of friendship. You said two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to, I'm going to change these words a little bit because it's Women's Day. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to her who is alone when she falls, for she has no one to help her up. Again, if two lie together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand her. I believe that the author was making an application more than just in marriage. You know, we use this text, and it talks about the unity and the togetherness of marriage. But I think that in Ecclesiastes, the writer was trying to get us to understand what friendship is all about. It's a good investment. Women, we are so different from the men. Amen? Sometimes that can be a good thing. Sometimes that can be a bad thing. For 10 years, I was Women's Ministries Director for Pacific Union. That was a volunteered position. No pay. Had it been, maybe, a man in the position, he might have got something. But I didn't take it for that. You know why? Because I knew that God had given me a ministry for women outside of my own pain, hurt, and brokenness. But I find that as I traveled all over North America, for women's ministry has gotten a bad rap in that women's ministry is not a country club. Amen? It is not that. At least it's not supposed to look like that. But sometimes we can, we need to pray about the people that we put into office. Because sometimes we just put anyone in that position, praise God, you've got Beverly, okay, who is doing a marvelous job with it, I'm sure, here at Fallbrook. But there's sometimes, as women, we tend to not be as kind to each other as we need to be or as we should be. Sometimes we might come to church broken and hurting, and no one even say good morning to us. Sometimes we don't get a phone call, but yet I'm your friend at church. What about outside the church? Does friendship carry on the outside? Absolutely. And so Paul is saying here, not Paul, but Ecclesiastes is saying here that when we come together, there is good investment in a good friendship. Amen? And when the author says in verse 9, two are better than one because they have good reward for their labor, the word reward here, good reward, can be translated as a good return. In order for me to have a friend, I must what? Be friendly. Okay? I mean, when I walked in that door, some of you didn't know I was the speaker. Some of you didn't even know who I was. But you greeted me with love and warmth. And that's what I love. Because sometimes I like to just sneak in and just sit or just do what I need to do. And people don't have to know exactly who I am, because I remember there was a church that we were going to pastor, and they didn't know who we were. And Elder Pinnick and I showed up at that church, and we sat there, and we wanted to see what the congregation was like. And at that time, my youngest one was just about 3 or 4 months old, and we had traveled to go to this location to see what it was like. And I got up and I took the baby into the mother's room, and there I was, and there was a lady there, and I was trying to talk with her, and she just ignored me, and I wanted to say a little more to her, and she just totally ignored me. So I just said, well, I just won't say any more. And I took care of Anthony and went back in church, sat down, and at the end of the church, the conference official announced that we were there and asked us to stand. Well, we went back to the prayer meeting, and this precious lady who was in the mother's room said, oh, had I known who you were, I would have said more to you. And I said to her, but sweetheart, who am I? I am a child of God just like you. You see, there's no degree, there's no status when you come to the foot of the cross, amen? There's no one there that is any better than anyone else when we come to Jesus, because he is the only one that can save us. So when I don't want people to be my friend because who they think I am or who they think I'm married to, not think, I am married to him, okay? I don't want that. I want them to love me and care about me because they have gotten to know me. And so that's important, that we put some investment into our friends. Then in Proverbs 18, the first half of it says, a man who has friends must be friendly, and so we must show ourselves friendly. Now, there are characteristics of a real friend. A real friend, from verse 10 here, says, for if they fall, one will lift them up. Says, a real friend helps you when you're down. Have you ever been down? Discouraged? In trouble? Did you have someone to lift you up? You had that friend that's going to be there. Now, we may have a lot of people around us. Some are friends and some are acquaintances. And the difference between acquaintances and a friend, someone said that it's easy. If you just get in trouble, see who comes to your rescue. If you need someone at 2 o'clock in the morning and you call them, you don't want them to ask you 1,000 questions. You just want them to come to your rescue. Amen? Have you ever needed someone like that? I know that two of my best friends came with me this morning. And if Janoyce, if I needed her at 2 o'clock in the morning, and Linda needed her at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I needed her, well, which one is going to get her? If Linda, my friend's name is Linda also, if Linda needs her and I need her, but she goes to Linda, then I'm going to be quite upset because I needed her. But there's a friend above all others. If all of us in this church needed Jesus at 2 o'clock in the morning, all of us will have him. Amen? Amen? That's the kind of friend that he is to us. He's a wonderful, wonderful friend. And he's always there for us. In Proverbs 17:17, the writer says, a friend loves at all times, and a sister is born for adversity. A real friend will help you at all times. And then we need friends that will give us emotional and physical support. Amen? Emotional and physical warmness. In verse 11 it says, and again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Sometimes this passage is taken so literally that we miss the point. This is more than just keeping each other warmed physically. We need to help each other to face circumstances beyond our control. We need to gain emotional strength from each other. We need to have people that are not draining in our lives. Have you ever had a draining friend? You know, it's just like someone coming to you and you are just full of gas, but by the time they leave, you're on empty. You have no gas. You have nothing. And then you get around people who are just so energized, they're so encouraging that they fill up your tank. I remember the other day, in fact it was Thursday, Jerry and I traded cars. And I was in the car that takes more gas because he needed to take my car to the shop. I did not want to fill up that gas tank. If I filled up that gas tank, that it would have gone, because gas was at $3 plus. And I was like, I don't want to fill this up. I said, shucks, he's got more money than I do, you know? So I filled it up to a certain point. When it got to 30, I clicked it off. And I said, and I got in the car and I looked, I turned it on, and I said, my goodness, it didn't even get to that half line. And then I remember my dad saying something years ago about always have your gas tank filled. You get more mileage out of it instead of filling it up halfway. And then I said, well, I know that my husband's going to fill that gas tank up. So I wanted to give him, I didn't want to take all the joy away from him. I wanted him to have some of it. But do you know that gas did not last me very long? Because I didn't fill it up, which reminds me of a story, a true story that happened to me when I was doing the homeschooling with the children. This particular morning, it was in the month of, I think, April or May, and there I was, got up, it was a beautiful day, it was already warm outside, you know how it happens here in California, and I got up and I said, oh, I'm going to have time for worship. I prayed to the Lord. Every time I open my eyes, I'm saying a prayer to God, just thanking him for the day and just trying to get myself to help me, Lord, to get up out of this bed and go to work, you know. So I got up and I looked at the clock and I said, I have time to eat. So I fixed a bowl of oatmeal. How many of you like oatmeal? Oh, I love it. I had fixed this bowl of oatmeal. I had raisins and nuts and bananas and peaches on this oatmeal. And I said, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to eat this. And so I sat down and I looked, and it was time to get up and leave, and I was like 45 minutes that I had to travel to get to work. It was up in Highland, so I had to take the 91 to the 215 to the 30. And so I got in the car with my bowl of oatmeal on the 91 and the steering wheel, and there we are. I'm riding, and I'm trying to eat. Have you ever seen people eat? But not a bowl of oatmeal. And I'm trying to eat, and something says, you need to take this oatmeal, and you need to put it down, or you're not going to make it to school. So I put it down, got to school, parents dropped their children off, and it was just me and the kids. And we had a good morning. And then it was lunchtime, and I realized I had not packed my lunch. And so I said, well, these children love me, and they're going to share their lunch with me. I know they are. So there I was, waiting on them to share their lunch. And so they were unwrapping their lunch, and it was looking good, because you know, mothers, you make wonderful lunches for your kids, you know? And I'm looking at them, and I'm trying to act like I'm busy doing something, and none of them said, Mrs. Pinnick, would you like something? Not one of those little boogers asked me that, okay? They didn't say any of that. And I'm saying, oh my goodness. So then it dawned on me, you've got oatmeal. Go to the car and get your oatmeal. Well, when I got to the car and opened it up, by that time it was about 85 degrees up in the high desert, you know, and hot, and the car gets hotter. So the oatmeal was still warm, but it had a brown crust on it. The bananas were limp, the peaches were dead, but I was hungry. So I took the bowl of oatmeal, and I tried to stir it up, and I said, oh, I don't want this. But I was hungry. And I went back into the classroom, and I said, well, you know what? I'm going to stand up and eat this oatmeal because I don't want the children to see exactly what I'm eating. And I said, Lord, please don't let any of them ask me, what am I eating? So I'm stirring it up and making it look a little better and eating some of it. And up comes this little hand. I just loved these children sitting up here this morning. Up comes this little hand. Like the little boy that kept saying, I got Legos, you know? And so this was a little second grader, Megan. I said, yes, Megan. She says, Mrs. Pinnick, what are you eating? So, you know, I started stirring it up, and I said, oh, Megan, it's oatmeal. Do you like oatmeal? And they said, yes. She says, yes. I said, children, do you like oatmeal? And they all are raising their hands, yes, yes, yes. And I'm stirring it up, saying, Lord, don't let them say, let me see it, okay? You know, sometimes in life, we have some things that don't look good, and we stir it up. And the more we stir it up, we think that it's going to look better. But when we keep looking at it, we see that it's still the same way, amen? So there I was. And so I said, Megan, it's oatmeal, and I just love oatmeal. And I started eating the oatmeal. Megan says, Mrs. Pinnick, is it enough to sustain you? Now, this is a second grader. And I knew I was an excellent teacher, but I hadn't gotten to that word yet. And I said, Megan, do you know what sustain means? And she said, yes, it's just like the little boy that was sitting here, and I think the storyteller asked, what do you start with? And he says, the base. Even he knew where to start at the base. So I said to Megan, I said, you know what sustain means? She says, yes, Mrs. Pinnick. I said, Megan, what does sustain mean? She said, Mrs. Pinnick, is it enough to keep you for the rest of the day? And immediately, church, I thought, did I meet with my friend Jesus that morning? Did I have enough of him to sustain me for the rest of the day? Do you have enough to sustain you for the rest of the day? Did you fill up on Christ, your friend, before you came here to church today? There's a friend called Jesus, and he is available for each one of us. He already knows us. I love Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, where he says, "While you were yet in your mother's womb, I knew you." So women of God in this church, no one can tell you how to do God's work, God's way, but God. Because he knew you while you were yet in your mother's womb. He knew you and knitted you and fashioned you in such a way that God is expecting every woman in this church to have a personal relationship with him. Amen? Let me tell you, when he comes in the cloud of glory, he's not going to say, "Well done, Linda, you were married to Elder Pinnock." I want to hear his words say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." It's because he's talking about me. This is an individual thing. And in the times that we are living right now, it's rough. And if we don't begin to really get into the Word and study God's Word for ourselves, we will not be saved. We won't. We've got to stand on our own merits, on what we know. When I was coming up and went to church school, we had to learn those memory verses. We had to know them. Sometimes I look in our schools, I'm not saying public schools, our schools, and wonder why we aren't learning the memory verses. God's Word, this is the only thing we can stand on. Now, we might learn them for a grade. I'll let that sink in. But are we learning it for our salvation? That's why I admonish parents in the home, teach your children, even if you do send them to our schools. Right, girl? I would tell my parents, teach your children. Because what they learn at home is so valuable. Because sometimes as teachers, we miss it. God is calling us, yes, to be friends with each other, but he's calling us to be his friend. He's waiting and watching for us. He never leaves us, nor does he forsake us. Oh my goodness, I could tell you so many things. But I do know that God in his mercy and grace saved me. I do know that as a pastor's wife, God had his hand on me. Because even in the church, we can be cruel to each other. But God in his mercy and grace. And one day I'd love to come back and tell you the story of how God kept me grounded in this church. He took me and wrapped me in the arms of a converted Jew. And she showed me how to forgive. If you have a friend that you haven't forgiven, is it worth losing your soul? If you have a loved one that you haven't forgiven, is it worth losing your soul? God wants to save us. You know, And I'm closing because I see the time. I'm going to be on time because, you know, women can talk. But, you know, I got to thinking about this wonderful God that we serve. He loves us so much. And Jesus died on the cross for us, for our sins, because, you know, he loves us. But had he thought about it, would he have done it? Sometimes when God asks us to do something, we think too long on it. We think too much on it. And all he's doing is trying to say, hey, I've got you covered. I've got you covered. Come here, sweetheart. And yes, come here. When I was reading this and in this verse, it's talking about though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand. In the armies back then in biblical time, the army, when two went out to battle, they went out with partners, and they had their backs to each other. So they're fighting, but you've got to move with me, okay? So they're fighting, and if I'm this way and somebody's coming, she's taking care of that. But if we moved this way and somebody's coming, our backs were still there. We've got our backs. Our backs are together. We're partners. Do you have someone covering your back? Absolutely, Jesus is. But do you have that person that's going to pray with you? That's got your back? That's going to keep you and love you, and you can trust them? You see, I trust her. I trust her even though I gave her directions. I trust that she's going to move when I move, that she's got my back and I've got her back. Anyone I'm facing is not going to get to her. And anyone she's facing is not going to get to her. And so that means that I'm going to cut out, women of God, the gossip. That means that I'm not going to talk about anybody because I've got your back. The word gossip means that if I tell something about someone else, whether it's true or not, and they're not in my presence, then that's gossip. If they're not here, and I'm going to talk about you, and you're not here, then I'm gossiping about her. Thank you, sweetheart. She's a good person to have your back. Amen. But what I'm saying today to you is, we have a lot of friends. We have good friends. We have best friends. We have acquaintances. But the best friend you could have is Jesus. You've done a lot of wonderful singing this morning on the name of Jesus. And Jesus is the sweetest name I know. He's just the same. Isn't he? Every day, every hour. So I pray that as we leave here today, that we will recognize and understand that as women of God and men of God, that we've got to take on the character of Christ. That means that we need to look like him, act like him, walk like him, and talk like him. And if it doesn't coincide with what he is asking us to do, then we need to change our ways and ask God to show us how to be like his son. I pray that as the women of this church come together and do mighty things for God in this church and for the community, that you will always keep your hands in God's hand. And you know, I would not want fail not to just leave without asking someone if you don't know Christ, and you want him as your personal Savior, that it is so easy to just say, Lord, I am a sinner, and I know that you have saved me. I know that you have forgiven me. It's so easy for you to do that, and I would fail not to not open up the doors of the church. And if there's someone that wants to come and present themselves to Christ, then I am here to receive you. But most of all, God is here to receive you. Amen? And so, if there's one, and if there isn't, may the grace of God, who loves us so much, rest and abide with each of us. And Father, we thank you for being our best friend. We are sinners saved by grace. We believe and trust only in you. We thank you for your loving power in our lives. I ask, Lord, that you be with each individual here, man, woman, boy, and girl. Because when you come back, Lord, you're coming back for families. You're coming back for the children, for the mothers, the fathers, the grandparents. You're coming back for each one of us, Lord. And we just want to thank you for that. We thank you for another day that you've given us to make it right with you. We thank you, Lord, that you gave your son. And we thank you, dear God, that he did not say no. And so, Father, I pause right now to allow this wonderful congregation to say a word to you. We thank you for hearing and answering us. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and for his sake, amen.